Dear people, will you please open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And I would like you to follow along as I read the first 30 verses. Beginning in verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from my Father. And then we have the division that occurred. And in verse 32, there seems to be another time, but Christ goes back to the same teaching he had here in the earlier part of this chapter. At that time, at the Feast of Dedication, took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the portico of Solomon. And Jesus then gathered around him and were saying to him, how long will you keep us? They were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. This text here, we find that it is in John 10, chapter 1 and 30. Well, my desire this morning and yours along with me is to look at the Lord Jesus Christ as he's given us the very ordinance in his scriptures that we should come and look at him as we come. He told us that we should take the element which lay before us and put our minds upon him. Jesus made it plain that his coming into the world would be for the forming of a new relationship between God and his people. The new relationship would be based upon his love for his people, proven by his death on the cross. He taught his disciples that he came to save sinners and to be their eternal Savior. He spoke of his love for them and that the basis of his relationship with them would be his love for them and their love for him. This morning, I want to remind you of the truths we examine about Jesus' relationship to his sheep stated in John chapter 10, the passage read, under the subject of I am the good shepherd. In this passage, we are taught about Jesus' care for his sheep and his sheep's attachment to him. I want to use the truth of this passage to encourage us to a greater life of service to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it be that we will come to the Lord's table with this a design in our hearts for a greater life of service. If we're going to take our Lord's command, do this in remembrance of me, seriously, we must apply the shepherd-sheep relationship to our daily lives. What I want to do in the few moments we have is I will begin by drawing out Jesus' relationship to us and then focus upon our relationship to him. First of all, Jesus' relationship to us. We saw that it is clear in the statements that our Lord Jesus states about his relationship to his sheep. In my sermon, when we looked at that very idea, but I am the good shepherd, there were several things that Jesus Christ said in this section that make us clear and it describes himself as the good shepherd. Now, we know that as we looked at that, Jesus would make an analogy or comparison to himself as those who were supposed to be shepherds over the people of Israel at that particular time. And Jesus is saying, and he shows that all the scriptures pointed that there was a new shepherd that was going to come. So Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Now, in saying that, he states in this very passage the very things he does and will be doing to prove who he is as the one who is truly a shepherd over him. Verses 1 to 5, he gives this cryptic saying, or this figurative speech as is recorded here, showing the idea of any shepherd and how a shepherd cares for his sheep and how the sheep does not respond to a stranger. And Jesus is laying that out. He's proven to the people there who were the shepherds at that time, you are strangers to them no longer. They don't listen to you. They don't follow you. So Jesus is saying, the good shepherd has come, and this is the one they're going to follow. Now, Jesus says several things in this passage here, and I just want to pull them out briefly as a reminder. He says, first of all, he laid down his life for the sheep. He's going to die for the sheep is really what he's saying. Notice in verse 11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 15, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life for the sheep. And then in 18, he opens it up a little more. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from my Father. Jesus says, first of all, here is the thing that you will see with me about my life and my concern for the sheep. I will die for the sheep. I'm going to die for the sheep. He is saying that not like those false shepherds, they come, the wolf come, they run. They don't stay. They will not take care of the sheep. They will not even get hurt for the sheep. But Jesus says, I'm going to die for my sheep. Now, we know the scriptures show that to us throughout in indicating that Jesus said some of the things that, you know, I will give no sign, but there will only be one sign, the sign of Jonah, as he was in the belly of the great fish, sea monster. He came out on the third day, and the Son of Man would do the same thing. Over and over again, he taught to them that he would die, he would give his life, but he says in his dying, he is actually going to be the one to save. His dying, or the proof of who he is, will be his death and his resurrection. He would be the one to die, and he said, this is what I'm going to do. He made a big difference between the old shepherds or the shepherds of that time, if you want to call them, because they were the ones that had the care of the people of Israel. But now one is coming that I will go all the way to the end of dying for you. So he said, first of all, here is the forward part of my relationship with my sheep. I'm going to die for my sheep. And then he said a second thing here. He said, I know my sheep. And he indicates here that this is something that's vastly different from what is taking place right now. Verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. I know them. And that's contrast with the fact that they say in verse 5, as a stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of a stranger. I mentioned when I preached this sermon, that this word know, there's very various uses of the word itself. It does have the use of that knowledge and that understanding, but it goes all the way down. And it has aspects to it. It's used in several places in the corresponding word in Hebrew in the Old Testament, as even as a male-female relationship. And here, we use also to know is not used in this place as the knowledge. Not Jesus is saying, I have an intellectual knowledge of who my sheep are. To know here is to know something or someone. Though it is the word which used, it means here to have know, to know and to approve, to care for, to love. This is a closer relationship that comes in where Jesus Christ now, he is a part of his sheep. He understands them. He knows all about them. And even Paul tells us the use of this word, by example, when he says in 1 Timothy 2 and 19, the Lord knows those who are his. It's not that he have an intellectual knowledge of who are his. He knows them because of the very relationship he has to them. Verse 3, and he calls his own sheep, that's what Christ says, by name. No doubt this indicates that Jesus knows his sheep by name, individually by name. Jesus talks about a flock, but he says, of the sheep I have, and I will bring them here. I will call them. He will call them by name. He knows his sheep, each one individually. He knows their nature. He knows their personality. He knows each one of them. He knows them. He knows their lives, their talents, their sins, their spiritual strength and weaknesses. He knows all about them. But he loves each and every one of them individually as his sheep and his own creation. Psalm 139 reminds us when David can say, you knew me or you were with me when I was formed in my mother's womb. Jeremiah 1 and 5, he says, I called you before you were in the womb. Jesus said, I know them. I know all about them. And he said, I know them. Do you think what he meant, that as soon as you and I came into existence in the world, we were brought forth from our mother's womb, Jesus looked down and he began at that day to study us, to begin to see how we're doing, what things we do, how we react, and so now he has some knowledge about us? And that's not what he's saying. He says, I know them. He's indicating here, I knew them before I saved them. I knew them before they were saved. I know all about them. And he mentions this, and I believe we can see this when he says in the verse, he says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. He's saying there are some out there have not yet brought to myself. I know them. They are mine. They're not going to become mine when they get saved. They are already mine. I know them. I know who they are. I can't help but just, though it's not in my notes, to bring a little application here. It gives us great joy who are saved and are praying for others who are not saved. That, oh, if you're a sheep of Christ, nothing's going to happen to you. We'll do all we can. We plead that you would come to Christ. We open up the scriptures to you, and we can see your hard-heartedness. But in the back of our minds, we say, oh, if he belongs to Christ, he knows him. And he knows what he's doing right now. In each and every one of us, we think back to our lives before we got saved. I can't remember the reason why, but yesterday I believe it was, I was thinking about this man and what this man was before he got saved. And I said, oh, God, what a wonderful God you are. Who is deserving of salvation? Not one of us. But Jesus says he knows them. He knows his sheep. And knowing him, he understands all there is about them. He knows what they're going to get into. He knows what they're going to do. He knows how they live. But the beauty of it right now, he said, in this aspect here, he knows them through and through. He knows them to take care of them. He knows them, as it indicated earlier, that they can go out and find life and find the abundance of life. And all that they need, he will be the one who will bring it to them. But Jesus says, he says here, first of all, I will die for them. Also, he says, I know them. And that's above an intellectual knowledge of what they're doing. Isn't it wonderful? Jesus doesn't have to look down upon us right now and see what we are doing and then respond to what we are doing. He knows what we are going to do before we do it. And he knows the measure of grace he's going to have to pour out upon us in that state. He knows what's coming and trying to attack us. Put it in the analogy here of shepherds taking care of sheep. And they'll hear the thieves and robbers come, or the wolf, or the bear, or the lion. He knows who's trying to do, or what one is trying to do to us. He knows if that's on a human level or on a spiritual level. He can keep our arch enemy, the devil, at bay, because he knows. He can keep that one walking beside us and have something in his or her mind against us. He can turn it back upon that one, and they will be able to do nothing whatsoever. He knows us. But thirdly, he says, I bring my sheep. I bring them. Jesus here is indicating that he's saying, I will lead them. The word means to lead them along, to carry them, to guide him. He makes it clear that he initiates the whole process of the sheep coming to him. We don't take it upon ourselves, and we got this star. It kind of blinks in our head, in our mind somewhere along the way. You know, I think I'm going to follow Jesus. You know, I need to make a change here. He is the one. He leads, he guides, he leads along. He brings the one to him. He makes it clear that he initiates the whole process of the sheep coming. He says, I must bring them, the others that I have that are not of this fold. He calls them. The life of a disciple and to their attachment to Christ as their great shepherd. He is the one who begins their life, calls him, brings them to himself. He says, this is the relationship I have. I die for them. I know them. I am the one who is intricately dealing in their lives, actually, to bring them out of whatever they in and to bring them to myself. He goes on, he says, my sheep hears my voice. He says it in a few places here. He says it in verse 16, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And in verse 27, in that little part we read, he says, my sheep hear my voice. And again he repeats, and I know them. My sheep hear my voice. Hear. Two different hears, does not mean to hear with the ears. It means hear, to understand, to comprehend. How many people read the Bible and they don't even know what it's talking about? There's many. There are some parts of the Bible we have been reading for a long time, but yet, and we know that, but some we don't comprehend. He says, my sheep hears my voice. Until the Lord Jesus Christ himself make his word understandable to us, we won't hear him. And he says, those who belong to him, they hear him. You see, brethren, looking into the scriptures, reading the word of God and following the word of God is hearing the word of Christ. It's listening to him. They will understand. They will comprehend what he's saying. They will hear his voice above all other voices. And this is the picture we have again. those sheep, when a stranger come, they won't hear him. They won't listen to him because they don't know his voice. But he said they will hear my voice. There are a lot of clamoring sounds out there. There are a lot of things trying to get us to do this or do that or the other thing. They come from new ideas, philosophical thought, and governmental plans and everything. And there's so much noise sometimes you can't even gather where you want to think, where you want to bring your thoughts to. But above all that, there's a voice that comes out above all of it. Jesus speaks. And you know he's speaking. You know his voice. He speaks directly to our hearts, or the hearts of his sheep, in his word. And his word comes to us by the Spirit, making that word known to us. The Holy Spirit applies the truth to their lives. The sheep knows what Christ is. They know it's his voice because the Holy Spirit is the one who brings that truth to them. Jesus promised Spirit, when he comes, he would take the things of mine and make them known unto you. Not that we could sit down and have theological discussions. Not to say that we have a heavier, a better understand of doctrine. It is to follow him. It is to be one who attached to him. The Holy Spirit applies this truth to our life. The understanding his voice, this is what we do. That is the understanding of his word. And that means in understanding his word, the word guides us. The word tells us what to do. So in hearing his voice is hearing and understanding and then submitting to his word. I believe, again, the picture of what he said in the first five verses show us that. When a shepherd came, he called the sheep, they followed him. They went with him, which is another thing Jesus says here. His sheep, they follow him. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They attach themselves to him as disciples. How many times did Jesus say about the disciples, you come and follow me? He tells them to take up the cross and follow me. If you try to save this life, you're going to lose it. Lose this life for my sake and the sake of the gospel. Turn away from everything. And he shows us in the calling of his disciples themselves. He said to each one of them as he came, follow me. And what did they do? They turned away from their lives. Left it. And walked and followed Jesus Christ. He says, my sheep follow me. He said they follow him because he is the one, is the good and the great shepherd. They live for him. We find that out. And he goes on and he says this is the fact that he closes out. Not that the dying for him is not something that is just done where he dies and that's basically the end of the matter. He says about his dying for them, he says what he does in that process, he give to them eternal life. Eternal life. He says here, there's none that will perish. None can snatch him out of his hand. None can snatch them out of the Father's hand. This is what Christ does for his sheep. Now this is a clear relationship Jesus Christ put on the pages of Scripture here in this particular passage. He says he knows his sheep. He dies for his sheep. He brings his sheep to him. The sheep hears his voice. The sheep follow for him. And he gives his sheep eternal life. Now, we didn't have a problem at all looking at that and seeing and understanding that, did we? We saw it. But I wonder how many of you, as we went through that, you saw the corresponding action from the sheep in this relationship. And this is what I believe we ought to look to this morning. Now, our relationship to the sheep, you know that in this passage, the relationship that Jesus is speaking of is not one-sided. It is clear that there exists an appropriate response of the sheep to the shepherd. The sheep trust the shepherd and have confidence in him. That's what we see as any shepherd and have sheep. They trust him. They have confidence in him. They follow him. They look for him to be the one to protect him. Likewise, the sheep of Christ, Jesus, live their lives the same way and they trust the shepherd they have put their lives under. And this truth is stated by Christ. In the very passage, Jesus also makes clear assertions of the sheep's relationship. And there's three I can pull out here. And they show us who we ought to be and how we ought to be. First of all, they know him. I know my sheep, and they know me. Verse 14, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Now the same thing that's said about, we look at the fact that Jesus Christ, he says in the use of the words there, there is this relationship, and I believe love is one of the things that you see in relationship, because Jesus made it clear throughout the scriptures, and especially in the Gospel of John, beginning in chapter 13, he said he loved his own even to the end. And in 14 down to 17, he continues. He have the whole idea of love. If you love me and keep my commandments, I loved you as the Father loved me, so I love you. And that same relationship between Father and Son, Jesus is saying, is a relationship that's going to exist between sheep and shepherd. This is what it will be. He indicates there that this is the very thing. There must be this very relationship, must exist on love. Jesus teaches us that the whole idea of love to God or worship to God or to be connected to God is love. What is the great commandment? He says, summed up in this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love. It's what it is. So Jesus is not saying here to know him is depleted with the whole idea of loving him. He mentions it clearly. He lays it out. Now this was something that was missing also with those in that day. There was no love to the Pharisees and the scribes. None whatsoever. They mostly hated them because of all the pressure they put upon them. But now the sheep loves Christ, loves the good shepherd. I love my sheep, and I love my own, and my own know me. They love me. They know me, and so that knowing that they have of him is this existence of a relationship that exists between the sheep and the shepherd. And the third thing we can see a correspondent in here is when he says they hear him. You know, dear people, as I indicated already, that the hearing of Christ is to hear him speaking. The Holy Spirit takes, I indicated to you, the things of Christ and make them known to me. They hear his voice, the word that comes to them, in whatever form it may come to him. Reading of the scriptures, we sit down, we hear Christ coming. Preaching of the word of God, it comes to them, and they hear Christ, they listen to Christ. They understand his word, they acknowledge his word, they live by his word, they submit themselves to his word. They hear him, they listen to him. And to attach to that, they follow him. So what Christ says about the sheep, we find that that is what the sheep actually do. Christ does not have any idea that there are sheep that he have, and they may know him, and they may hear him, and it stops short, but they don't follow him. No such thing. They follow him. They live for him. They become his disciples. They put themselves under his law, his commandments, his rule. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And keeping his commandments truly brings them to the place where they follow him. They take up their cross. They die daily for him. They put nothing before him. Everything else is behind him. He becomes the first and greatest relationship they have. Yes, a husband loves his wife, and a wife loves her husband. Parents love their children, vice versa. But they're second place to the shepherd if they are sheep. Nothing is loved more than him. They follow him, and that following him is because of the relationship they have with him. And this is what we find here. To love Jesus means to have attachment to Him. It is the only way real service can be rendered to Christ Jesus. Real attachment to Him. The kind of love is bestowed upon those who desire to give up all for Jesus Christ. And here in this aspect, what Jesus is saying here, that is what it is. That's what it's supposed to be. He cares for His sheep. They are under His direction, under His care, and they themselves live knowing that it is this Christ Jesus Himself who they are following. I wonder how many times we have wrestled with the truth of this. How many times we have actually thought about what we are doing. At the end of a few moments, we're going to come to the communion table. This aspect of our relationship, our discipleship to Christ means that you are expressing real communion and connection with Christ. What we do here, this part of worship means that you are saying, I am connected with Christ. I have real communion with Christ. That's why it's called in some places the communion. I have this with Jesus Christ. He is my Lord, my Savior. He is my shepherd. As you come, what is in your heart? This is what we ought to say. What is really there? And I could take just what we looked at. Do you know Him? Not do you know about Him. Not what you read. And not what parts of Scripture you believe you understand. Do you know Him? Meaning, do you love Him? Are you connected to Him as the Good Shepherd? Is He truly your Savior? And does He have your heart above all other hearts or things or people in this world? Does He have your heart? Is your heart divided between Christ and who He is and some of the other things that go on in life? That sometimes these things in life, you'll find them, they push Christ to the back seat because these are so important. Do you love Him? Do you hear Him? Meaning, are you listening to Christ? You believe you heard the call of Christ and saving grace. Do you still hear His voice in His word? You know, the sad thing about us, even as Christians, we come in the beginning when we heard Him calling us to Himself. It seems like the voice was so clear and so loud, not in the sense of annoying loud, but above everything else. All things seemed to came to a hush, and the thing that mattered most was Christ has spoken, and I know He's spoken, and so therefore you follow Him. You seem to have heard Him even day after day. Sometimes in those early stages of salvation, you heard Him all throughout the day. Things were just coming to you. You hear Him. You know that's Him. And then after walking with Him for a while, all things seems to be much louder than the voice of Christ. This is coming at you. That is coming at you. Do this. Have this. Look this way. Look that way. In the midst of all of it, where's Christ's voice? In some cases, we have become like sheep who are in this great pasture where Christ is. But we look over until yonder meadow, and we think that's better. And the voice of Christ saying, come ye, stay here. And we sing, and with all kind of little reasons why it's not so bad to go over in yonder meadow. I'm not really leaving Christ. I'm going to find out how to use yonder meadow for the glory of Christ. But Christ is saying, no, stay here. And we say, well, then it won't be so bad, Lord. I may even find different ways to serve you in yonder meadow. Do you hear Him as He speaks? Do you hear Him and what He's saying? Does his word direct your life? I don't mean in the big things, in everything, in all that we do, everything that we think, all that we are part of. Every word of his, does it have his impact on you? Every part of your life, do you find yourself thinking about this and should I do it? Or how should I do it? Or do you choose what part you want to hear and put the rest out? The relationship between the sheep and the shepherd is here. They hear him. And then he goes on what Christ says. They follow me. Are you following Christ? Are you following him away from the world? Dear people, we should see this as constant movement into more and more likeness of Christ, a constant movement into grace. And therefore, until Christ comes, we're going to find ourselves continually moving more and more in the path which Christ sets before us. Are you following him into a more spiritual life? Do you read what the scripture says? Now you find yourself actually longing to do what the Bible says to you as far as you being a sheep of Christ. Do you love him and you want to know how to be more like him? Do you find yourself hating yourself more day by day and loving him more and wanting to be more like him and less like this old Adam, which brought us into the wickedness of this life and wants to keep us into it? You hearing him, are you? Or are you listening to other words? Are you listening to other voices? You know the one that's really trying to get your attention and our attention, I should say? The devil himself. We are not one iota to believe that he's not going to try to steer us off the path of Christ. We see even a garden. You know the details of it. He did it right away. Do you think he's going to leave you alone? Do you think behind some of the things that comes to us as these challenges in the world, the temptations and all that, do you think they just sort of like popped in some kind of way? The devil is trying his best to even take the sheep of Christ and to make them go against him and not to hear what he's telling them, but to hear what he's saying. And he never makes it so bad as far as the intellectually thinking, oh, you will not die. Christ knows, God knows that if you eat, you'll be like him. Wow. Isn't that what man wants? Want to be like God. Oh, so well, what do I have to do to be like God? And Adam, you see, could kind of twist this. Well, I want to be like Christ. He can make you go down roads where you think you're trying to be more like Christ, but you're not. But dear people, we understand what is the voice of the devil and what is the voice of Christ. We understand because the Holy Spirit helps us clearly in the scriptures to keep us on the road and to point us in that direction. But we have to be those who would say, I want to hear him in order that I may follow him into more spiritual life. Are you becoming more like Christ? That's an honest question to ask ourselves. Really, what was I like when I got saved? Go back in how many years it was. Where am I now? What was I like last year? Where am I now? Am I in the same old rut that I was in? Am I doing the same old things? No spiritual progress? Then it's a question. Are we really following Christ? Are we hearing Christ? And it all sets upon that very podium of loving him first, knowing him as our great shepherd. And then from that we find ourselves, Lord, speak, your servant heareth. That's what we want. Is that where you are right now? Is that you can say, truly, yesterday, the day before, the only thing I long for is to please Christ in this life. Or did it not even come into your mind? I want to get a little more personal now. You may be able to say yes to the three questions, but let's put it to the test. In this passage, it is all about belonging to Jesus Christ as part of his fold. Jesus is the one who said he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so, as those who say we are sheep of Christ and in his fold, how is that going to be seen today? That is going to be seen through the church. The church is the very visible fold for the sheep of Christ. And those who are in his church is the ones who are really showing and indicating that they are those who follow Christ. How do you take your church membership? How important is it to you? Is it just something that you are part of, as if in some kind of an organization? And therefore, you know, I show up when I get ready to, or whatever the case may be. Jesus called his sheep out of the world and blessed them and brought them into the church when he built his church. Is worship to the church important to you? Is it really important? Is this day the joy of your life? This day set aside by God to come in to be taught of Jesus Christ and to have that great relationship with you and God to come up to even higher levels. Is it settled in your heart that you will be gathered with God's people on this Lord's Day no matter what? Aside from providential hindrance, and we understand that, do you come to the place where it says that there is where I will be? I'm going to be, not so much because the people expect me to be there. What about between you and Christ? What about that? That's the whole thing, brethren. Are you a sheep? Is he your shepherd? And this is one of the times you come under the clear protection of the shepherd, that he may even be able to guide you as you go through another week. Brethren, this here, as we gather here, is not something that has been gathered on by man. It's not something that man, we call them men of the Bible, maybe the apostles and all, they came to the agreement this would be a good thing. And so therefore, they bring down some rules and regulations for how the people of God must meet. No. Christ said, I build my church. Now I understand there is the doctrine of the church universal. But guess what? The church universal is made up of the church local. All local churches are part of the church universal. And so here with Christ is with this very passage. And brethren, I say, if you read this to it, there's no such thing here as being Christ's sheep, but disconnected from the way he keeps his sheep today. Do you find excuses for not being here? You have life itself more important than being here. And I say this out of a challenge, dear people. I don't say this to be harsh with you. We have visitors. And do not take what I'm about to say the wrong way. You've been here with us. You know we love you. But here is a reality. Visiting churches, are you connected to Christ's church? Only one way that happens in the scriptures. Have you humbly submitted your life under the call or care of Christ Jesus in his church? Or are you holding off? And if so, why? Again, I say this with love. If you cannot join with a particular assembly, in this case, this one, you should be joined to another one. And I say this because in my heart I firmly believe this is for your protection. I don't want you. I know who you are, and I know you know we love you. But you should be in Christ's church. I say this from the heart. You must prove your love to Jesus by being united to his sheep. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. I got other sheep who are not of this fold. I may bring them and they will be one fold. In the New Testament, after they went out to teach what Jesus Christ taught them, what did he say? And what did he guide them to do? To go out and build churches. They established churches. They were in churches. Brethren, those of you who you know well, and we love you because you've been here with us, but this is, I say, for your own good. I say this for you in your service to Christ. You know, you may come and take the Lord's table with us, but brethren, think about it. Are you living out your life connected to Jesus Christ, or are you finding it easy to just come and visit the church without being a part of the church? There's no such thing in the scriptures. And don't point to the beginning in the book of the Acts where you had the Ethiopian eunuch and those that. That's not the doctrine of the church. You'll find it as it goes on. And there is no such thing as those who are sheep of Christ in the New Testament being not connected to Christ in his church. Now I know. If you happen to leave one church and you go into another one, you have to be those who are using some spiritual strength to say, is this the right church to unite with? And you may have to look for church. I understand that. But if you've been so long and not connected, I challenge you to think of this relationship of sheep and shepherd and bring it to the scriptures and tell me how, or think about how you can fulfill that never being connected to Christ's church. You know what? Many, through the past, they thought they were saved. They thought they had it all right. They could even boast in Christ. In Matthew chapter 7, hey, I'm a part. This is what I do. But remember those frightening words of Jesus. Although they were religious, he said, I never knew you. Love first, bringing, teaching, and they connected with him. There are people that think they love Christ, Christ loved them, but he says, I never knew you. Brethren, this is a challenge from my heart. You should really be thinking about where you are as you're expressing who you are to belong to Christ. And even as I said, when you take this, what do you think Christ is thinking about you as you take it, but yet you are outside of his church? When we come to the table, let us come with this very text in our hearts and our minds. It is a wonderful thing to be the sheep of Christ. And it's a wonderful thing here as you see it to be humbly submitted under the rule of Christ. As we take the bread and the cup, let it be that our hearts are taking it, knowing that he is my good shepherd. Let us pray.